Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. After he had said this, Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.'" So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered them, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. For any of our younger or young at heart congregation members out there, today is a sermon bingo day. I apologize, we lost the earlier copy. So does anybody not have a bingo board that wants one? You can raise your hand. There are prizes. No shame. We had some older people that played along earlier. Anyone? Bueller? No? Okay. Thank you to our ushers anyway. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This coming month and a half, two major pop culture behemoths, Game of Thrones and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, are preparing for their epic conclusions. Game of Thrones, which I have referenced before in my sermons, premiered in 2011, and even though it's on HBO, which costs a bit more money to watch, it quickly became the biggest show on television and a major pop culture phenomenon and event. If you want proof, I am wearing my House Stark socks today. When there's socks made of it, it means it's a big deal. Its final season premieres tonight, and we have 6 weeks to discover who lives and who dies and who will end up ruling from the throne. For those of you who maybe aren't into this epic history thing, one interesting fact, a lot of the beginning of Game of Thrones is actually based on the War of the Roses, which is, of course, the Lancaster and York. So we have ties to it. At the end of this month, the movie Avengers Endgame will also premiere. If you're wondering why we're constantly bombarded with superheroes in movies, and it seems like there's a new one every week, and there's all sorts of TV shows about superheroes, this is why. 10 years ago, Marvel kicked off a grand experiment. Could they build an interconnected universe of superheroes, mostly B-team ones, who could occasionally unite and save the world? Lest we forget, because now it's just happening all the time and there's superhero movies everywhere, back then, it was a huge risk. Marvel Studios took out a $500 million loan to find out and started with the movie Iron Man. Well, 10 years, 21 movies, and $18.5 billion with a B dollars later, the answer is a resounding yes. And so far, they are the only ones who have successfully do this. Avengers Endgame, the movie that comes out at the end of the month, is being advertised as a conclusion to these 21 movies, an ending. There are stakes. We know that heroes, name heroes, are going to die. As you can imagine, the anticipation is high. Avengers Endgame broke ticket pre-sale records. And, interesting fact, you can actually place bets on who lives and who dies and who will rule the Game of Thrones in Vegas. There are betting pools and odds. It's hilarious. The expectations are through the roof. Now, of course, not every one of you is into this. So think of it like this, for any of you who have ever followed a book series or a particularly good book or good mystery with intricate plotting, or any book or series where you've really gotten invested in the characters. It's like this, and now this book, the series, is coming to an end. I can't help but think of all of this as we go through Palm Sunday. Jesus is preparing to enter Jerusalem, the capital, a place of importance and power both from a governmental and a religious standpoint. This is the equivalent of King's Landing for those of you who speak Game of Thrones. Jesus' disciples know something big is coming. The crowds know something big is coming. Jesus knows something big is coming. When he comes to the Mount of Olives on the outskirts of the city, he tells his disciples to go into the village where they will find a colt that has never been ridden, and they are to bring it to them. They do so, explaining to the confused owners of the colt that the Lord needs it. They're fine with this. So Jesus sits on the colt and rides it into the city. As he rides it into the city, people start spreading their cloaks on the road as a sign of honor. And then they start praising God for all the deeds of power they have seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Did you catch that? Blessed is the King. The disciples in the crowd think Jesus is going to win the Game of Thrones. Now, there would be an unexpected ending. But, all joking aside, we learn exactly what their expectations are. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Sure, they're calling for peace and they believe he comes in the name of the Lord, but still, King. This is one time I actually kind of side with the Pharisees for going, "Shh, knock it off, shh." Remember, back in that time, Israel and Jerusalem was still under Roman rule and occupation. While they did have a king ruling over them, King Herod in this case, he was a vassal or a puppet king. He was appointed and told to keep in line with the Roman rule or else. Make sure the people pay their taxes. Hey, we can relate to that right now. Keep the people in line. Say good things about the Romans and the Roman Empire and the Roman rulers and squash any uprisings. But here you have a whole crowd of people shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That sounds an awful lot like an uprising. And though the crowd follows this proclamation with peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven, I can't help but wonder what the people really thought was going to happen next. By declaring Jesus king, did they just think those in power were going to step aside and let Jesus take their place peacefully? Because, as the saying goes, when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There is no middle ground. And what kind of king were they expecting Jesus to be? I'm sure some were expecting just what the Romans feared, a king that spurs an uprising and overthrows the Roman Empire and the powers that be. I'm guessing others were expecting a combination of a high priest and king marrying religious and governmental rule, much like the judges of the Old Testament that served both as the mouthpieces of God and the leaders of God's people. Either way, all of this pointed to an epic conclusion. Jesus even fans the flames himself when he tells the Pharisees, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." There's no stopping what is happening here. If the crowd was not chanting these highly inflammatory statements, the rocks would. The gauntlet has been thrown. The challenge has not only been made, but also accepted. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. There will be an epic conclusion to Jesus' ministry. But it's not the ending we're expecting, or even that we want. Because often we have an idea about how we want stories to end. And especially now with social media, if they don't end the way that we want, we riot. There is a good reason the creators of Game of Thrones and the ones who will be directing the series finale plan to go dark the night of the finale. No social media, no internet, no contact with the outside world. Because no matter how good the ending is, there will always be a subset of the fandom that will be upset. Now, what percentage of that fandom will be upset is yet to be determined. But they've watched others before them get torn to shred online or just in conversation, because this goes back a long time, for their controversial endings to highly popular shows. Lost, The Sopranos, How I Met Your Mother, Seinfeld, Dexter, Roseanne before the reboot. Or if you don't follow this, just think of a book that you've read that doesn't stick the ending and has an ending so bad you've wanted to toss it across the room. This has never happened. I've never done this. Or you just kind of, you're reading it and it doesn't, it's not getting better, but you just keep on reading it or watching it. The official term for this is hate watching or reading. Like, why am I still reading this? Is this getting terrible, but I can't stop myself? Think of that. The crowd, his disciples, think Jesus is a king. But what if he isn't the kind of king they want or expect? What if instead of declaring war on the rulers and the powers that be, he just declares woe on everyone, everyone? What if his overturning of the tables in the temple is one step too far as his role of a religious leader and king? What if the people are worried about this whole talk of king will actually be detrimental to the people as a whole, bringing the wrath of the Roman Empire down not just on Jesus and his disciples, but on everyone in the city of Jerusalem? This is not the king they wanted or expected. This is not the king we wanted or expected. And like the internet hordes do nowadays, we quite literally crucify Jesus for not living up to our expectations, for not delivering the final act we wanted. You win or you die. In this case, Jesus dies on the cross on Good Friday, put there by us because Jesus wasn't living up to our expectations. He was not the king we wanted. But this isn't Game of Thrones. Through dying on the cross, we are given forgiveness for our unrealistic expectations and for our ultimate betrayal of Jesus. We are forgiven. And what is more, through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, we are given the promise of, hey, resurrection and new life. Jesus dies, but wins the throne at the same time. And what is more, he wins it for us too. We are promised a place in God's kingdom as one of God's children in paradise, just as Jesus tells the thief on the cross as they're dying. We hope you can join us this Holy Week at Holy Trinity as we make our way toward the epic conclusion. And rest assured, we already know the ending. And we know it's the best kind of ending. The kind where good triumphs over evil, where life beats death, where we are forgiven and made God's children forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.